Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm your host, Steve Rosewald, Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University. Joining us from London today is Sophia Metviva. After successfully launching a retail tech platform connecting consumers, stylists, and brands, Sophia founded Tech for Non-Techies in 2020. She earned her MBA from Chicago's Booth School of Business, where she sits on the alumni board and mentors students. Welcome, Sophia. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to speak to your smart and sophisticated audience. So I'm expecting some smart and sophisticated questions.
Great. Well, it's great to have you on the show. Let's jump right in. You started this business that was, you're a non-tech person, but you started a tech business. Mm-hmm. And a lot of CFOs are non-tech CFOs, but they're finding themselves in technology. So I'm really excited to kind of bring your expertise and kind of your experience for our finance leaders that join us. You know, if you think data as the new oil, then we have to think of data professionals as the new oil moguls. And that's pretty scary to finance leaders, CFOs, because for 500 years, we've been the purview of the analytical part of the business. Now it's been all on finance and financials. And I think what's growing out of the data analytics and data sciences is a lot broader analytic tools and data. And so I think that's what we want to share with the audience today is kind of how the roles in data, the data profession are kind of defining data analytics and data science. So, you know, maybe the first question is if you can help us understand, you know, how these key roles are growing around the data discipline.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say that there are three key roles that CFOs, but also just professionals, that we need to get a head around. So there is the data analyst, the data scientist, and the machine learning engineer. So the data analyst is the person that all of us are familiar with. So that's usually the person with a spreadsheet, that's kind of the analyst at JP Morgan, or the person who's been doing analytics of the profitability of the business, maybe working in the FP&A. So basically a person who is really, really good with spreadsheets. And they actually don't need to manipulate lots of data. They don't really need to have a lot of data to give you any kind of answer. So for example, they could answer a question like, given my customer funnel data, where are my customers dropping off? So, you know, if you have an e-commerce business, you'll see what's happening on your website, where are they going, and where are they dropping off? With this, even if you had just 100 people, you will be able to get some kind of interesting result. You know, if 100 of people are going to your website and 70% of them, so 70 of them are dropping off on, say, screen three, that means you've got to have a look at what's happening at screen three. Maybe it's broken, maybe you need to do something with your prices, but have a look at that. But that's not big data analysis. It's not data science. It's important, but it's not really that complicated. The newer profession is data science. We actually do need much larger numbers, but also more kind of a deeper understanding of data and how to work with it and some software tools. And the question that data scientists would answer is, given all of the data that I have, how could I improve my profitability? And so the output here is not just data, the output is insight. And that's what we all want as professionals. We don't just want data. We don't just want to be told, look at screen three. If somebody could tell us what's happening at screen three, then we could do something about it. So this is why I think it's such an interesting and important concept to understand for CFOs, because CFOs are looking at the lifeblood of the business. But data scientists are working with machine learning engineers. And machine learning engineers help data scientists do their job, but they are further down kind of in the tech stack. So a normal business person is not really, you know, including a CFO, who I put in the normal business person category, I don't know if you agree with that. But a machine learning engineer is sort of between the data scientist and then kind of deep tech. So they would look at that. The question that they would answer is, given that I want to increase my customer basket size, how can I improve my recommendation engine? And so you see here, the output is a model. The output is some kind of recommendation engine that they're building based on the data and the insight that they already had. So when a CFO is looking at these three roles, just you're probably already used to working with data analysts. And if you want to kind of take the next step in the digital revolution, it's the data scientist that you want to be looking at, not the machine learning engineers, because that's one step too far if you don't have the data science bit. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes tremendous sense. And, you know, we have the financial analyst, right? And they're kind of that step. The data analyst maybe goes into other things that are non-financial, but there's this progression I'm hearing from you. The financial analyst had those around a long time. Now and they're deep diving the financial statements, and they do a lot of the reporting at the end of the month, and they try to, and then you have the financial or the data analyst who's taking that to kind of a different level on maybe different data. Maybe it's not financial data anymore. And then it's data scientist. What question would you talk about the data scientist? Do they have to have really strong business knowledge? I mean, it sounds like they're to get the insights, they have to, they're more than just crunching numbers.
A good data scientist is going to combine insight of the problem with insight of how to use data. So, for example, I can tell you about a very good friend of mine who is a data scientist at Meta. And she has a data science background, but she also has an MBA.
Okay.
And that's exactly, I mean, that's the ideal background. Obviously, not many of us can compete with the Meta salaries for data scientists, but that's kind of the ultimate, that somebody who really knows how to actually work with the models and use the tech tools and has a very deep mathematics understanding, but also really understands what does a business need? Because at the end of the day, businesses are looking for insight. So for example, very different businesses are using data for different insights. So, for example, a company like Shell, an oil company, would ask, how can we use our seismic data to work out where to drill for oil?
Mm-hmm.
Because they make money by finding cheaper places with abundant oil. L'Oreal, completely different company, would use the same professionals to figure out which shade of lipstick should we be stocking more in the next 2 years? Because they will need to, you know, and this is really a CFO question, because you're going to be making a product, you need to build up your inventory, you need to get all the shades, all the pigments to get into to get that lipstick. So the more the data scientist understands business, not necessarily beauty business, but just what business people would need, the better they will be in their job.
You know, you brought up an interesting point with the example of your friend who's getting Meta salary. And how do smaller and medium-sized businesses, how do they attract these skill sets or get the benefits of these new, the data industry, maybe it's called? How do they attract those skill sets and how can they afford them? Or what do you suggest?
Realistically, you are probably, with an SME, but also don't feel bad. It's not just the SMEs. I know large Fortune 500 companies that have tried to attract the big tech data scientists, and I mean, just financially, it's very difficult. So everybody's finding that difficult to compete, including the big banks. So don't feel bad.
Okay.
But the way I would approach it is the way we approach any kind of skill set that we need to buy in, but we can't afford to have full time. So what do? We get a consultant or a freelancer. So either go to a consultancy that's going to be able to help you get some insight, or work with a freelancer to get some insight on a specific thing. And so here, in order to get the most out of working with this person or working with a consultant, you really need to figure out, well, what is it that we need insight on? So, and that's something that the CFO and the CEO, they know what is the core problem. So for example, in Shell's example, their core problem, one of their core problems is, where do we get the stuff? Where do we drill for oil? So that seems like a good investment. Whereas in the case of L'Oreal, they really need to understand where the consumer is going to be in terms of consumer fashions.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So think about your business think about the most important business questions that you need insight on, and then essentially set that as a project to a data science consultancy or a data science freelancer.
Great idea. I mean, the thing, it really starts with the leadership understanding their most important driver, right? What, and exactly. Then we don't have the data for that. So how do we, well, we need a data. So if it isn't just saying, oh, we're going to hire data scientists and everything's going to get better. There's a lot of work involved ahead of time to say, okay, this is when we can use a data scientist. Now, how do we attract one? So the other day we were talking, and you know, if we don't know what a data scientist really is, right? You know what a data scientist, we're trying to learn about it. How do you vet, how do you make sure you're getting somebody who you expect to bring these insights that you can't do in-house already? You know, the finance people say, hey, we can do the financial stuff. That's kind of our business. But that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about a different set of skills and insights coming from different data. How do you find and vet that great data scientist that's going to work on this project and bring you great insight?
Well, Steve, I'm so glad you asked, because I learned this the hard way. Uh-huh. So for my first company, I knew that we wanted to get a data scientist to have a look at our data and to study customer behavior. So we could basically figure out the core behaviors of our top customers, so we could identify them before they actually handed us any money. And I then, just like I recommended, I didn't actually have the money to afford a full-on Meta type of data scientist. I thought, okay, I'll get a consultancy. And I spoke to this consultancy and they said, yes, we're data scientists and we can do all this stuff. And then they produced this report. And the report wasn't that insightful. It wasn't useless, but it gave me answers that I already knew. And when I actually dug into the models, they were basically just spreadsheet models, you know, things I could have built myself. And it turned out actually that there were data analysts calling themselves data scientists.
Okay.
And this happens quite often. And this is, you know, I want this story to serve as a warning story for people, because basically data scientists get paid more than data analysts. So everybody wants to call themselves a data scientist.
Sure.
So don't fall for the same trick. What some of the simplest things you want to look for is, do they actually use the tools that data scientists use? And there are just some data science languages that a real data scientist would have to use to get the results. So R is a statistical programming software. So they'll definitely have a basic understanding. Well, actually not a basic understanding, they'll have an understanding of R. Okay. They're very likely to have an understanding of Python. Python is a programming language, especially useful for data science. And also there is something called SQL. So SQL is actually spelled SQL, but you can just, as long as the person you're speaking to is going to use those, at least, you know, a couple of those three things, you'll be able to see that, yes, this is not just a data analysis, which you can do in-house.
So there are some tools that they should have in their repertoire that they're familiar with, that they know, mm-hmm. some of them really deep. And then, as you're interviewing them, I think that the CFOs will be capable of the finance leaders of understanding their business acumen. I mean, so, you know, we mm-hmm. can test on that, and then making sure that they have those tools. Very interesting. So I think it's really helpful. What's nice about this is you're able to make this doable. You're giving us a path to say, here's some steps to take. Here's what data science is. Here's the roles in data science. Here's what they deliver, the insights that you can't deliver elsewhere. What you have to do, you have to have a problem statement ahead of time for them to solve, and then how to get the right person. So getting started, you're making getting started really easy for us. And that is sometimes the hardest part. So really, really kind of appreciate your thoughts on all that. We talked about this briefly, but, preparing for this. So before we take that step, and before you say, okay, I need a data scientist, because Sophia told me I need a data scientist, and Steve said they're really great. How do we have to prepare for that? What needs to be done ahead of time before we do that search?
Mm-hmm. Well, so first of all, you have to really understand what questions, what you want to ask the data scientist. So that's really a strategic decision, because you could ask one of the questions any business might want to ask is, where is fraud most likely to happen in our transactions? So maybe that's your core question. Maybe the core question is going to be something about, what are the core behaviors of our most profitable customers? Those are both very legitimate questions that we all want to know about our businesses. So it is up to the CEO, the CFO, to work out which questions they're going to give the data scientist. Because like with any professional, if you don't give these people direction, and not micromanagement, but direction, you're going to just get mixed results. So that's thing one. Thing two is obviously data. So do you have useful data? How is it stored? So a lot of companies, especially that have been around for a while, they might have data in all sorts of disparate data sets. So whereas, even if that is the case, you could still clean it up, but at least know where it is. And this is the problem also of siloed organizations, that your marketing department might actually have the same data as your finance department, but it is split up basically in different classifications, which means that if you're going to give it to a data scientist, the data scientist will have to do like a lot of data scrubbing, which is going to be kind of you're getting a very expensive person to do a thing that somebody who's much cheaper could do. So okay. sort out your data. But also, you need to think about two aspects of data. One is first-party data, and the other one is third-party data. What I mean is, first-party data is the data that you already have. So let's take an e-commerce example, just because it's, we can all imagine how that works. So people, you would have data on how many people are coming to your website, then maybe you'll have data on people who are actually registering as your customers, then you'll have data on when are they buying, how are they buying, when are they returning, and all of that sort of stuff. So basically it's data that you have captured. So that's first party data. And then you could ask a data scientist to contrast that with third party data, which is basically data available on the internet. Sometimes you have to buy it, sometimes it's free, but you could ask, well, so you run an e-commerce store that sells, socks. And then you would want to contrast the behavior of your customers versus customers that buy socks in general. So if this is the kind of thing that you think might be helpful, or you think might be a useful discussion, have a think about that, and then ask the data scientists that actually we want to find out, where are we in terms of consumer behavior in general, or in terms of the market in general? Or like, for example, the Lending Club has a lot of data on loans and loan defaults and who pays back their loans. So if you are a lending organization, or if you are giving your customers credit, you could have a look at what's happening in your business, and then ask the data scientist to contrast that with what's happening with the sector at large.
Well, that was a lot to take in. Starting with that first piece, you really focused on non-financial data when you're talking about, what do you need? And the information you talked about was really non-financial. So it's something I think the finance field really needs to understand, is that it's not all about numbers anymore. It's about behaviors and things like that. Really important. The piece about not having data, that's interesting, because I think that's where a lot of people struggle. I had dinner with somebody last night. They said, there was a company that's looking to sell them a data analytics tool. And they said, we just don't have the data. Our systems are so old. And so there was a fear from the CFO that I can't really give them anything. And that's a scary thought. And I think there's more companies out there than we might realize that just fear that I don't think I have it. But we're going to have to test the waters on that and either get better systems or realize that our systems do have it. We just haven't figured out the right way. And we need to get the right technology to help us with that. So really interesting conversation. And then on the third area, there was on the public side at dinner last night, this a gentleman mentioned he came into an industry he'd never been in. And they do a lot of analysis and things for businesses. And he said the public data available, and this happened to be in the shipping industry, is incredible. He said, and this company that he was working with is a shipping company, and they can track their shipments individually, but they didn't realize the opportunities of they can see a ship coming into port. And if there's not another tugboat there to grab that ship, they can put one of their tugs there. If somebody didn't show up, they said all these things, well, we could just, and he says, they have never thought of this kind of thing. So mm-hmm. this big data that, and a lot of those are public systems, all free data. It's all free data mm-hmm. from the US government, or I think from the international body. But that kind of thing, and maybe where a data scientist comes in and has a whole new perspective and looking at it that you would never even think of as running an industry for, you know, being in an industry for 10 or 15 years, it may never hit you that, oh, that's a good idea. So I think there's a huge amount of value in those three things you just described. And I can see that for sure as far as being prepared and understanding kind of what that jury is going to look like.
You mentioned the point about the things like consumer behavior, but actually, even though that's what the marketing department is really interested in, that really feeds into budgeting. And that's what the CFO is very interested in. Because if you understand what the consumer is going to want, then you can, so for example, if you're an organization that holds inventory, then you can ask a data scientist to have a look at consumer trends. Then based on that, you can decide, okay, well, we want to have lots and lots of this product and much less of this product in our warehouses, which basically means you can then estimate how much inventory you want to hold and all of the budgeting associated with that. So I think also for the CFO, even if they're not hiring the data scientists for the finance function, but say the marketing people are hiring a data scientist, that insight will be necessary for the CFO. So if a data scientist gets hired, it actually, that their work can feed kind of the entire company, which is why if done right, it can be a really good investment.
That is such a great point. And you know, I'm not going to say that finance is the beginning and the end, but the way you just described it, it all ends up in the financial statements eventually, right? Exactly. So all that insight you're getting and rearranging inventories and selling more of this, you know, all has margin, all this information that's going to follow through. So that's really a good point. One of the interesting things to take away from that is, you know, I've kind of been suggested CFOs don't lose control of this data stuff. And that's really probably not the right way to look at it. The right way to look at it is make sure we're tied into that sales group, the marketing group, and make sure that the link is really strong, that all those insights they gather, we can put in our forecast, we can understand the cash flow needs. Is probably a better way, because that direct insight they need is to the marketing department, but it all kind of flows out, which is the point you had made, which is, you know, really a great point that, you know, making sure that we're tied in very closely, because eventually it's going to hit the financial statements. And we want, you know, knowing that ahead of time is a lot better than knowing about it when it's too late. So, you know, we have this great, we found this data scientist to help us. We've gone through all the rigor for that. And then all of a sudden they present us with a report. You know, if we're not deep into it, we haven't prepared it, how do you make sure that report is kind of valid? It's got the insight you need. How do you make sure what you're getting is of value?
So CFOs are a smart bunch of people. And I find that when it comes to technology, even the smartest people, we kind of think, oh, technology, you know, software is this thing that I don't understand. And we forget our own kind of logic that got us to be a CFO, to be a business leader in the first place. So question the data, because data output, data insight can be manipulated to present whatever point of view. Just like, you know, a PR person for a political candidate, they won't lie, but they'll just present what they want you to know. You can actually do the same with data. And the way you do it is, if you have a data set, so you have, say you have three aspects that you're measuring, three points that you're measuring, you could essentially make one of them matter much less, so you could give it a much smaller data weighting. So you could make it much less important. You could make one factor much less important and another factor much more important. So essentially one of the things I would ask is ask how the data is being weighted. So what in this analysis, what did you measure? And in this analysis, what did you give most importance to? What did you give least importance to? And why?
Great points. Yeah.
And we can look at that at, so when you have a look at the LinkedIn newsfeed or the Facebook newsfeed, those newsfeeds essentially have lots and lots of data weightings. So LinkedIn and Facebook will figure out who are you most interested in interacting with. So who do you normally send direct messages to? Whose posts do you like? Whose posts do you share? And that is a really, really important. They will give that a very, very large weighting. Okay. They will give other factors, maybe your locality, your geography, they'll give that a smaller weighting. So I know, Steve, I follow you on LinkedIn and I'm always looking at your posts. And even though you are in the US and I'm in the UK, your stuff always comes up at the top of my LinkedIn feed.
Well, clearly,
my interest in your content, that's given a much bigger weighting than the fact that I'm across the ocean from you.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Well, so how I'm kind of summarizing how we vet this is really the demand is the data scientist explain in terms that we can understand the process they went through, the weighting, the things they looked at. And that's where our discovery comes in, where we can ask, well, why did you use that? Or we don't think that's right. So I think it's that whole idea of having them explain their process, their weightings and what they asked, that makes just a lot of sense. And that could kind of be hard. I mean, they're going to be experts. Your friend at Meta with the MBA and the data science, they're going to be intimidating people, I imagine. And so, being able to really stand up and really make sure we understand what they did and can adjust it if we have to is great advice. Great advice. I think you've led us through this path that goes from what the new data roles are in the data industry, helping CFOs understand, even if we don't have a budget for a Meta data scientist MBA, we can still find ways to use that and experiment and what our demands are to do that, what we have to do to be able to put that in place, that it isn't just snapping your fingers and hiring somebody. There's a process in place, but you've made it very clear what that is. And I think that's really going to help our audience. Those people are kind of stuck in, how do I do this? I think you've really made it simple to understand what those steps are. They're not necessarily easy, but it gives us a path. So can't let you know how much I appreciate you sharing that. Is there anything else for our audience you want to talk about, tech for non-techies or kind of what you're up to?
Well, so for your audience who's clearly listening to podcasts, there's a lot more that they could also learn on my podcast, the Tech from Techies podcast. And my aim is to be very ruthlessly practical, because I think when we're talking about, there are lots of people talking about digital transformation and digital innovation. And most of the time they talk about it in such fluffy terms that most people that I'm thinking, well, okay, this is a good thing, but what am I actually going to do with, given this, when I get to the office, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And as a business owner myself who has hired these people and sometimes made good hires and also, as I told you, made some mistakes, I think it's really important for us to understand the concepts, but also actually work out what we are going to do. So have listened to Tech from Techies podcast. And also I have created a list of the top 10 concepts that non-technical professionals need to understand to work with product teams, to work with data scientists, and to work with developers. And they can just get that at techfornontechies.co/speaktech.
That's great. And we'll include those in the links to the video. We'll put those on there, send them to me, and we'll make sure that people can see that right at the end of this video too. Okay.
Excellent.
Well, Sophia, it's been fantastic. Now that wraps up, CFO talk. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
CFO.University is a community of member scholars, companies, and trusted advisors committed to the professional development of chief financial officers. Learn more about us at www.cfo.university. Until next time, enjoy, learn, engage.